We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
I'm
it.
I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hey, you guys, it is Justine Mader back with you here at Virtually Limitless, and I have an outstanding guest here joining us today. Not only a TEDx speaker, author, just mentor in mental health awareness and so much more. You guys, we've got Daryl Stinson in the house, and he is here just to share his gold and everything that he has learned through life, business, and so much more. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great conversation, and I tell people get ready to take notes unless you're driving. Just, listen in, but don't crash.
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, no, we want you to crash through like the ceiling of opportunity, but you know, not actually physical driving. So no, very good point here, brother. I would love for you to share with our listeners. 2020 really made people rethink speaking opportunities, right? You know, our conventions and masterminds in person were all canceled and all yada, yada, yada. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah. You have been across the stages, a leader in Clubhouse. You know, what would be one thing that you would encourage our listeners to consider for their brands moving into 2021, you know, between virtual and in person? How do you balance the new opportunities coming your way, Daryl?
How do I balance them? I reframe how I receive them, number one. So instead of saying something like, man, I'm so overwhelmed, or I got so much on my plate, which creates all this negative energy and resistance, shortage, obstacles to what you want, I reframe it. I say, I am overflowing with abundant opportunity. And as small as that sounds, it makes
a
difference, because one is a negative force in my life, and the other is positivity, and gratitude is the highest vibrational frequency that we can operate in by the world. It's actually higher than love. And so when you're in a state of gratitude, it produces a balance and a peace in your life that enables you to sustain the success and the opportunities that are coming across your path. It helps you, you know, not go crazy in the midst of growth. And so that's one way that I've been able to handle it. It's just by reframing how I receive it.
Oh, that's so good. And I think a couple of underlying messages that you just shared in that answer, Daryl, was peace. How valuable peace is when we control what we control through a grateful mindset. You know, there's so much going on in our world today. You know, guys, there's only so much that you actually have control over. And so if you can focus on that, what you control, how you receive it, how you appreciate it, man, that changes the whole just aspect of everything moving for you in your life or business. That's just absolutely powerful. So with mental health, that's the other thing I really wanted to just connect with you on. There's so much, the rates for suicide, therapy requests and whatnot, it's just absolutely overwhelming. My father's a school psychologist, and just the amount of children, you know, even, you know, we think of parents and adults that are our age, but even just thinking of the children right now that have gone through these crazy times, how was that message for you to share? Mental health had such a stigma, especially a few years ago. No one wanted to talk about it. Everyone was ashamed. How did you overcome that and create such a powerful message to impact the world?
Yeah, there was a catalytic moment for me that changed everything. You know, early in my speaking journey, I was so self-focused. I was too busy trying to be impressive instead of being helpful. And I was super insecure. I hated my voice, the way that I looked, and all this stuff, that I never really showed up how I could as a speaker and make the impact that I could as just an influencer. Mm. And one day I'm sharing my story of overcoming multiple suicide attempts. And I'm at this conference. It was a youth conference about two or three hours here from where I live in Georgia. Mm-hmm. There's about 100, 150 people there. And I did a relatively decent job. It wasn't like my best speech, but it was a good talk. And I told my story, and there was a line about, 15, 20 kids. And at the end of the line, there was this girl that's 14 years old, and she comes up to me and she's trembling and she's shaking and she's crying. And she says, sir, my parents dropped me off at an orphanage last year, and I can't understand why what I did so wrong that they no longer wanted me. And I felt like I deserved to be in pain. So in order to deal with that, I started cutting myself to deal with that pain. And she lifts up her rubber wristband on her left arm, and she shows me the cuts on her wrist. And she said, but there was something about hearing your story today as being a former athlete and who's vulnerable with your story and being a person of success who's transparent that gave me the courage to come out about my struggle. And you're the first one that I've ever told this to. Gosh, I mean, I wrapped my arm around her, like the one arm dad hug. And I just affirmed her, told her how valuable she was, told her she does not deserve this. And the beauty in that story is one of the staff members at the conference actually was from Honduras. And she had been through, over 14 different orphanages in her life. And she was able to spend some quality time for about 2 hours with that young lady. But that was really the moment where I said, I have to share this message. I need to share this message. It was not optional at that point. I think it was still like, how much should I, how transparent should I be? Like it was me teeter-tottering on like how committed I was to being outspoken about it, but that lit a fire. And I was like, I've got to share this message because there's girls like that all over. And now, even my TEDx talk on overcoming rejection, it doesn't directly deal with depression. My second one does, but I still get messages from people across the world. Just got a message a week ago from someone in the UK. She's got 300,000 followers on Instagram. She's got a bunch of titles and money, and she's well successful, but she reaches out to me and says, hey, I saw your TEDx talk and I just want to know hey, do you have any time? Can we talk? Because I'm going through some stuff and I don't have anyone to talk to. And I'm like, how can a person with that much money, influence, and social media presence not have anyone to talk to? And so why wouldn't I talk about this message?
Wow, that is so huge. So many points in there. Number one, you have a whole movement behind you of people that are just so grateful that as an influencer, as a leader, you are showing up raw and real, whether you're an athlete, someone that has struggled with mental health, depression, self-harm. That is just something that you can feel when you're talking. I was there and I could see the girl hugging you. I can feel it's insane when you can understand and feel that connection. And that's something that I know our audience is going to be so grateful to hear from you. And to have heard that from your mouth it's so powerful. But in addition to that, knowing that leaders across the globe, 300,000 followers, 7K, every day for the rest of your life or whatever the heck it is, that doesn't mean that you are experiencing wealth of life. Yeah. You may have wealth in business and have all the right numbers.
Yeah.
But what is that without wealth of being?
Yeah.
And she turned to you for that. That's incredible. So how did you handle that situation from a leader? I'm sure you had her talk to you at some point, but how did that moment feel for you?
Well, honestly, it happens all the time. But that just broke my heart. I'm a crier. So yes. I literally called my wife and I cried because I was just like, man, this sucks, to be that. I was about to cry thinking about it now, but
you had me tearing.
To have someone, and you got to remember, I reached the top of an industry, college athletes, Division I college athletes are top 2%, especially me. I was ranked. And so I reached the top of an industry. I was externally successful, but I was internally failing. And when you have external success, when you are a 7-8-figure entrepreneur, when you do have social media influence, people see your gift, they don't see your pain. And it's hard for them to see beyond your gift, right? So when they looked at me, they saw the athlete, they saw the championships, they saw the wins, they saw the height, they saw the athleticism. When you see a person of wealth, you see the money, you see the car they drive. When you see a person that has a particular gift, whether it's to sing or to paint, you see their art and you see their gift. And it never really crosses your mind, like, how is that person doing? And so, you know, we have to always, I heard it, it wasn't my original words. It was a lady that said it at a conference, but I stole it because I'm a speaker.
Hey, if it's legit, you work with it, right?
I know, right? So you're supposed to give them credit twice, and then after that, it's yours, you know? And she said, she said, sometimes you have to check in on your strong friends too. And that's the thing that when we see, because we look up to these people because we aspire to be like them. And it's like, hey, they need encouragement too. They need their tank to be refreshed too. They need people checking in on them too. Like I always say it this way, you can still be Superman and Superwoman and have kryptonite. So just because they're awesome and they're flying and they're lifting cars doesn't mean that they don't have this weak spot that requires relationship and transparency and vulnerability to really flesh out.
Oh, that's so incredible. And there's so many people right now that are trying to be that strong person, man or woman, it doesn't matter. There has been so much recently that I think has pushed people to the max. And so for those of you listening, just to know that you can be the strong one. And if you feel that you still have that kryptonite somewhere, don't be ashamed of that. That's part of what makes you who you are. Absolutely. You need to embrace the heck out of that and know that that's just part of your superness. I guess I don't know how else to put that, but that's, oh my gosh, Daryl, that was so powerful. So I would love for people to hear from you too. Like you said, you were at the top, you had it. What is it like now rebuilding a new top without really having a ceiling? Cause what you're doing has left you limitless in so many ways. There's, you know, how much you want to work, how many gigs you want to do, you know, how many people you want in a mastermind. You're really positioning yourself to be in control of who you are and who you become. What has that journey been like for you? Just like realizing the freedom of who you are and what you choose. Like you said, I choose to look at this as an overflow. I choose this, like that was personal responsibility right out of the gate. How has that journey of self-responsible, like mindset framing, how has that been for you?
In the words of Aladdin, it's a whole new world. Woo!
So how did you know I sing and Disney's my jam? That's so good. That's so good. Oh my gosh. I love that. Describe it to us. This world.
You know, my mentors are always telling me there's three worlds that we can live in. There's a world of not enough. There's a world of just enough, and there's a world of more than enough. And that's why I love limitless concept, is because that's a world of more than enough. And it's a whole new world. There's no competition. We can share clients and advice and resources because we don't live in a world of just enough or not enough. So there's more than enough for everybody to go around. So I can share, be generous. I don't have to compete. I don't have to compare. I don't have to be someone else that I'm not, because there is only one me. So it's just a freeing world. It's a more connected world. It's a more joyous world. Like, think about this. Think if you woke up every day knowing this, that you live in a world of more than enough.
That's, you know, a word for someone.
It is. So let me give you an example. The first time I invested in myself at a high ticket level, I'm not gonna say the price, but it was very significant. I never forget, like, the person who was enrolling me told me the price, and I was like, what? like
your eyes were
for life,
so good.
Right? This is like for the rest of my life, this costs, you know, cost the program. And he said,
woof-ta.
I was like, I don't have that type of money, you know. And he said, okay. He said, so you know, this is when I was living in a world of just enough. Okay. He said, so you don't have that money in your hand or in your bank account, but can you agree that it's out there in the world? And I said, yeah, of course. Like, I'm sure it's out there. You know, he said, so then there is enough. The question you should ask is, how do I access what's already available to me in the world? Wow. Limitless. You see? And then I was
wow, that's so good.
And watch this. Here's the power of that. The moment I had that thought and that mindset shift, opportunity started to open up. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't even think like I can reach out to this past client and ask them if they'd be willing. It's like, I didn't even think about this. I didn't think about this. Like, and I was able to afford the program and the rest is history. And I broke that ceiling. And now I live in a world of more than enough. So it is so much of a different world. And the same thing applies to relationships. Some people, because they live in a world of just enough, they think that if they lost someone that they were dating, or maybe they went through a divorce, that there's not someone else that they can be with. But we live in a world of more than enough. So there's more than enough people for you to explore. Like, don't like have multiple relationships, but I'm saying there is that out there for you to have that quality of relationships. There's more than enough love to go around, peace to go around, joy to go around, money to go around, you name it. And if you woke up with that belief every single day, life becomes about receiving and not about striving.
That's so good. And it's so aligned when it's one of those things that everything just comes and go, like, it's not something you have to force. You know, I've talked with a couple other entrepreneurs on here that, you know, talk about a lot of habits and structure and things like that. I think that all of those things have a place, but I think that sometimes it's undermined. What's undermined is like grace and alignment, where it's like, this is who I am. This is how it is. And this is what will be. Mm-hmm. And just letting that be your world, your new world, right? Oh my gosh, that's so, so powerful.
You wanted to sing The Whole New World. I saw it bubbling up.
So bad. I do. And I'm refraining because this is not America's Got Talent. This is the podcast. But trust me, between Disney Show Yourself and all sorts of great stuff. Yeah, I'm totally set for my life. Even though I have two boys. I mean, I don't have little princesses to dress up, but that's okay.
I got three girls. You want to swap like a child?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I would totally do their hair and have them all. Okay, well, we'll talk about that after the episode, you guys. But for people that have had those moments of alignment, you know, I think people get stuck in funks. That's the other thing I want to get your perspective on here, Daryl, is, you know, they felt that alignment. They've had that moment. They went with that mentor. They created that opportunity for themselves and then they funked.
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage someone to get back out? We know the things we know, like what would be the word of encouragement if I message you and said, Daryl, I've done it all right. I've been there. You know me, man, but I'm in a funk. What would you tell me?
I would tell you that pain is temporary and it doesn't last, and you're going to win because you're not going to quit. I would really empathize with that person. I think too often we try to rush people to victory and a different mindset, and we suffer from like not being able to empathize with people. Empathize with people, and really just allow like people to grieve, right? You know, and that's one of the things when I work with athletes, you know, it's a lot of people who are in the transition space, they're like, you know, let's just go make a personal brand out of the athlete. Let's go get them their income replaced. Let's do this. And I'm like, they need to grieve this thing. I was like, if you were married for 20 years, got divorced and remarried within a year, wouldn't you think that you're going to bring baggage into that next marriage? And so there's a processing that needs to go on. So I would tell that person, like, process that. How did you arrive at that point? What lessons did you learn? Because there's really no such thing as failures. There's only lessons.
Absolutely.
And so how can you draw wisdom out of your pain? Think about it this way. If you went through that and it hurt that bad, why not get something out of it except for pain? Other thing, unselfishly, like no shame. I would tell them to like go watch my TEDx talk on overcoming rejection. Because I was able to reframe, you know, failure as projection or protection. Mm-hmm. And I won't go into detail, but the talk addresses those two ways to view rejection and process it. And my idea worth spreading was this: buried beneath your most painful moment of rejection is treasure that you can cash in on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why? Because there's a wisdom in that pain. So I would really sit with it, think through it, and find what gold you can bring out of that situation.
Wow. That is so powerful. And it's one of those things that, like whether it's a resource that someone can check out, or it's just allowing yourself to be in that moment, to feel it, to like, and that's something that, you know, I've had so many people, and I'm a recovering perfectionist myself, where it's like everything is perfect, life, I'm on the outside, everything is, but there's a roaring storm that's being suppressed until there's like a tsunami flood that's just like, that was me. And as a recovering person that way too, to allow myself to cry. You can ask my siblings. I'm from a big family. I never cried. And my twin sister cried all the time. But it was one of those things that like, that was a sign of weakness for me. And why I thought that, I'm not sure if that was social, whatever it does. It's no one's fault. Mm. It's just how I grew up. That's how I felt. Mm. And so allowing myself to cry, allowing myself to feel that, I just resonated so much with what you said, Daryl. I just had to share that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful.
Well, I'm sort of jealous that you, that you have a twin. Like, I didn't know that. Like, that makes me jealous. I always wanted a twin. I did.
She's pretty awesome. We're fraternal, so we don't look alike. Crazy having a twin. There's two sets of twins in my family, strange enough.
Jeez.
Back to back.
Jeez.
I'm one of eight, and I'm one of the
holy cow, younger. One of eight.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So when you crazy. Talk big fam fun, yeah.
That's you. You gotta like rent a bus just to go to the grocery store. Like,
pretty close. We had a train, you know, with my mom. Another fun fact, some of the listeners may know or not, I was homeschooled, and that opened up our opportunities to pursue music as a family. And so we had a quartet for a couple of years out of the two sets of
twins. So cool.
And one of my favorite things to do was jam in the living room, I See Fire from The Hobbit. We made our own transition. Oh, it was so good, you guys. And you know, it's one of those things, like finding, like we had our academics, but we had our passions, and it was another gift that we were able to give people too, was music. And like sharing your story, sharing your message. You never know what point is going to resonate with people, but some people were like, you like The Hobbit? And we're like, yeah, we got the theme song. We're all set to go. So yeah, that's a little backstory, but no, that's it's so powerful when you look at where people have come from too. And you can see, you know, differences. I talked with someone yesterday, C-Rock, and he was, you know, he came from a broken home. Mm. And to see what he's done to make, you know, his Rocket Fuel and whole legacy move forward that way, in spite of some of the things he went through, it's just so incredible. And I'm so privileged to have that opportunity to hear these stories and make sure that they get out in the podcast. So guys, if you have a story, whether you came from a loving home like myself or from a broken home like C-Rock, who we heard from yesterday, like Daryl's telling us, your story matters. And it doesn't matter where on the pendulum you find yourself, someone needs to hear it. And you may be their inspiration to get out of that funk, to get back on their feet, because it doesn't matter if you fall down, it matters if you get back up. And I would love for our listeners to know what you got cooking, Daryl, because if it's coming from you, it's going to be good.
Yeah, thank you for that. Man, you know, I've done two TEDx talks, and I'm going to do a third, not because I'm just like addicted to TEDx or anything, but I honestly believe I have 10 ideas worth spreading. So I'm going to do 10 TEDx talks, and I've noticed that there's people that really desire that platform. So I've been taking some one-on-one clients to coach them through the process that I've used to help me get mine. So I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about voices, raising up the next generation of speakers. So I'm launching this mastermind program called the Next Up Speaker. I'm working with them closely one-on-one for 3 months. And only 10 group cohorts at a time. And like, they're getting my marketing expertise, my brain, my coaching, everything that I've learned from my coaches of Eric Thomas, Pete Vargas, Les Brown, Michelle Patterson, John Maxwell, Grant Baldwin. I've invested in all of their programs, because to me, once I knew and made up my mind, like when that story I told earlier, that this is my life's work, I was like, well, I'm going to invest in it, right? And it's like my elite athlete mentality.
Yes. So
everything that I've learned. And then one of the hardest things for people as they start to really create a movement out of their message is exposure. And so I'm hosting an event called the Next Up Speaker Live, where the people in my mastermind are going to get a 7 to 15 minute speaking slot to share their genius. And I'm inviting meeting planners who have hired me to speak before, podcasts that I've been on. So hey, you got an invitation now. Like just the general population from who shows up from our cross promotional efforts. And then we're just going to like shine a huge light on them. And like my goal is to get them like paid speaking engagements from that, whether in person or virtual. And so like, I'm really, really excited about that because, you know, for instance, one of my clients that has joined the mastermind had a really tragic accident happen to her. She became a paraplegic. Is that how you say it? She got paralyzed of something that was not her fault. And and she struggled with mental health and all this stuff. And it was like, man, you know, people need to hear your story, your message, but she has no clue, number one, how to articulate it. So there's two sides of speaking. There's the art and there's the business. Mm-hmm. She has no clue of either, right? She doesn't know how to articulate that story and present it as a solution to a problem and not just a cry fest.
Yes.
And then the business side of what's its value and how do I find the right opportunities that are in front of my ideal audience and make money doing it? Yes. And so like, when she enrolled in the program, like I'd literally called my wife. And I was like, I'm so excited for her because she has no clue, like the impact she's getting ready to make. Mm. Right. And so I'm very passionate about helping people share their story. And from a business perspective, I wholeheartedly believe the fastest way to grow any business, not just coaching business, but brick and mortar, any business is speaking. Like you can't tell me that there's a greater ROI than being in front of an audience, having a chance to share your why, your mission, your message, and then, you know, asking them to join you on that movement and that journey. Right. So really excited about that.
So that doesn't leave out the brick and mortar. You guys heard it. You heard it straight from the horse's mouth. He wants to see you active. He wants to see you pursuing those things. And he's got opportunities that could potentially take you from zero to hero. Oh, so incredible. Daryl, where would you like people to find you? Clubhouse, Instagram, where are you hanging out at?
Everywhere. I'm everywhere. Google me. I'm Googleable now.
Let's do it.
I was always Googleable, but it would always bring up athlete stuff. You know, now it's like podcast and TEDx and website, you know,
all of it.
Links in the show notes. I'm at Instagram, Stinson Speaks. Same thing on Clubhouse. Hit me up. My website is DarylStinson.com. And like, man, let's create some magic and do some good in the world.
Oh, that's what it's all about. I've talked with you on Clubhouse before, and that was something that my other host here, Trey, also was like, you know, we got to get Daryl on the show. What would you encourage people to do? You know, they're inspired to speak now. They're maybe looking into your programs, but for someone that's still not in a place that they're able to commit, they're, you know, figuring their own demons out. What would be one message of hope that you would leave them on the show today with?
Oh my gosh. You're not going to get to a place where you feel healed enough to share. Sometimes the healing comes from sharing. So away with this adage that, oh man, I really got to get through this before I step out and fully do my thing. No, in fact, the way that you overcome your thing, the way that you experience more wholeness and healing is actually by getting out there. You can't be fully known, or excuse me, you can't be fully loved if you aren't fully known. Okay. So in order to experience the fullness of love, you have to be fully known. And so get out there, share your story, allow love to attract into your life. I'm telling you right now, if you don't think that you're ready, you're probably ready. it's the people who think that they're ready that I'm worried about. They're like, I'm like, I don't know. You need to wait a little
bit. You're like, oh man, here we go.
yes. So that's my encouragement to you. And you know, powerful. Again, this is not to impress, this is to be helpful. Yes. So the question isn't, can you? The question isn't, does your story matter? The only question that matters is, are you willing? Mm-hmm. To which the answer should be yes.
Will you do it? Oh, I'm all in. I'm all yes. This is absolutely incredible. And just so grateful our listeners got to connect with you, Daryl. I can't wait for them to see you on the other platforms. And just thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Be sure to tune in for our next episode coming soon.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.